Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs Postgame Edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
Austin Matthews hits 60 once again. Sammy makes 34 saves and shuts out the Sabres. Leafs win 3-0. Austin Matthews becomes the only active NHLer to score 60 goals twice, and he becomes the ninth player in NHL history with multiple 60-goal seasons. We are back on Split the Defense, Leafs postgame. Off the rails, Webby's on the sauce. We even had a bit of a line brawl at the end of the game here.
Yeah.
Give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, and get her going in the comments for us. CP, take us away. What'd you think of this one?
Oh, that's a good one. I enjoyed it. Always good to beat Buffalo. Seems to be like kind of low-key, not so much rivalry with the Leafs. So that was good. It's also like this is like half of the Leafs team, basically. Not really, but you know, they're missing a lot of guys, and just an unreal performance from Sammy. That guy wants to be the playoff goalie, no doubt. Especially because Wall, you know, starting to pick it up a bit, had two out of three good performances. So yeah, Sammy's just kind of trying to close that door, I think. And then really, Buffalo's struggling this year. Let's be real. They're a team that's just like kind of had trouble putting it in the net like they have previously. But you know, it's not like Sammy had the easiest night, had to make like a bunch of like really big saves. Like a double save on a breakaway was probably the highlight of the night. And to top the game off, we get a little bit of a, you know, the 2024 version of a line brawl. So that was good.
Great game from the Leafs. Big shutout from Sammy. Sammy is fully, completely, unquestionably, no doubt about it, back. He is back. He is the man for the playoffs. He is honestly earning himself his contract for next year. And at this point, I'm not sure it's going to be on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think he's going to make enough money that he's going to be sought out elsewhere. What a hell of a game from Ilya Samsonov. This game could have easily been lost if not for that goaltender.
Oh, 100%. I mean, also, like, I can never say his name right, but Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Did I get it?
You got it. You nailed it.
Also had a great game. Like, I feel like it could have been, like, you know, like 6-1, could have been 4-3. Like, this was a game that, like, I feel like both goaltenders really showed up. So, like, Matthews could have had easily 3 goals. Like, a couple of them, I guess, like, the pass to his, like, wasn't right in his wheelhouse a couple times when he took the shot. But, I mean, yeah, he definitely could have squeezed through a couple more. So, yeah, both ways, goalies were good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Sammy, obviously better. They still gave up 3 goals. He still let in 3 goals. He was average. But, again, he got scored on by Austin Matthews, so I don't know what more you can say about that. Like, he's the best goal scorer in the league, clearly. He's just not Ovechkin chasing for Gretzky's goal scoring record yet. But, you know, right now, as of this time, it's pretty easy to say that Austin Matthews is the best goal scorer in the league. And, you know, for him to give up, you know, 2 and then 1 to Matthews, it is what it is. So I'll give him a good night, I guess. But Samsonov was 100% the belle of the ball. He was the star of the show. Great night for Ilya Samsonov. But Austin Matthews was 60 again. Can you just imagine what it would be like if this team decided that they had a galaxy brain and they were going to draft Patrick Laine over Austin Matthews?
Man, it's amazing how much of a difference it would make. And I don't look back on that very often, that was actually kind of a thought. But I feel like it was pretty clear who the guy was going to be. But yeah, every team has that chance to just fuck it up. So glad they didn't. To be honest,
with the Leafs track record, like, you know, there is a chance, but you know, Austin Matthews, absolutely elite. And you know what? I hate to say that I'd be happy because I probably wouldn't be satisfied, but even if there's no cups out of this Auston Matthews era, it's been an absolute treat to have a player this fucking good on our team.
100%. Yeah. Like it, I don't want to think about not getting any cups out of it, but I mean, it's just like a way better product than it was previously. Like this organization was really struggling before this era came about. And I think people do forget about, like, you know, how good we do have it. You know, just watching a guy score 60, a special, doing it twice is crazy. And like, he's not the only star player on this team, which is, I think, the reason why I'd be so disappointed. And if the play or yeah, if playoff success isn't included, but yeah, just unreal that he can continue to do it. And I think the years that he hasn't has been mostly because of injuries. So, and I guess COVID as well, but like, I think he'd be looking at a few more of these if he was healthy the entire time. And hey, just no doubt he's the best goal scorer in the league right now. Like, I don't know who else could you argue that it is. Like, I mean,
it's unarguable.
Like, yeah, there's McDavid scored, what was it, 64 last
year? It was last year. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, and even if you think about last year, if you can conclude the last 5 years, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Still easily over the last 7 years, it's like it's him and Ovi. Like, that's it. Like, I mean, and Ovi's fallen off. Like, he's fallen massively off a cliff.
Yeah.
So, like, the best goal scorer in the league right now is Auston Matthews. No doubt about it. So Leafs fans took over in Buffalo tonight. We had a whole bunch of blue and white in the stadium down there. Do you think that contributed to their win? Now, it happens all the time, and sometimes they just get owned. How much do you think the crowd played into effect tonight?
I don't know. Like, it always has to a little bit. It's got to feel good to, you know, be at an away game, and it's at least half Leaf fans. So, it's just got to – I'm not sure if it's like – contributes to the win in a large manner, but definitely gives you a little bit of a, you know, like, you'd have to be dead if you didn't get something out of it, you know, like, how many people are there, and they cheer harder in Buffalo, it sounds like. Like, that's not, when I was at the Ottawa game, like, that's not the level of noise that I heard, I don't think. And so, yeah, it's great to see. And just to end it off with the, like, Bertuzzi just basically punching everyone on the ice in the face, like, that's kind of like, when I think about a game against Buffalo, that's what I think about. I think of, you know, Kessel getting chased around and, you know, Colton Orr getting into a line, like, starting a line brawl with McLaren. Like, those are the days that, like, when I really set into being, like, a diehard Leaf fan. So, a line brawl is always just, you know, it's, like, going to be a highlight of my season.
Yeah, you don't see those very often, do you? That was nice. And, like, I don't know. Bobby McMahon didn't drop his gloves. It kind of bothered me a little bit.
Me too, a little bit.
Idea.
Yeah.
Like, throw him off. Punch him in the face. Like, I don't know. Like, it's already there. Like, what are you worried about at this point? Like, he's already holding you up. Just, like, do what you do. Maybe get a couple shots in. I don't know. Like, I didn't like that at all. It was the line brawl, but it was kind of a weak line brawl.
Oh, I mean, it's a bit about as weak as a line brawl can get. Like, that's why I said it's.
But everybody was fighting. Everybody was, technically, Craig, everybody was kung fu fighting.
Sure, I'll take it. I mean, I don't want to argue too much about it because
were the kicks as fast as lightning? Sorry,
that would be dangerous.
Yeah, that'd be awful. Bertuzzi's fist looked as quick as lightning because I love that about him. Like, the only thing that would have been better is if he had a couple guys out there that were willing to chip in the way that he wanted to, but like, he wasn't gonna let like anyone get the better of the like Leafs logo. He's the exact type of player you want as a Leaf. I just like, he's the identity of this team in my eyes. Like, I couldn't design a player any better, unless like, obviously, if he was gonna score 60 like Matthews. But like, honestly, he's the perfect type of player for this year and like this era of hockey. I feel like, you know, he's the Darcy Tucker of today. You know, there's not many guys out there that will, you know, he's supposed to be able to score 25-30. I know it didn't go that way this year, but you know, the back half has gone that way. And just a guy that's willing to mix it up with anyone. He's not always going to win the fight. He's not a, you know, guy that just, you know, drops the gloves and tunes guys, but he's willing to put it out there. You know, it's the only other guy is Domi.
He's a 2024 version of it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Because you're never going to get that era of player back. And those guys, they are far and few between in this league now because they don't really stick. But, you know, the 2024 version of that is a Tyler Bertuzzi, yeah. And it's nice to have, like, you know, a Tyler Bertuzzi filling a, say, Darcy Tucker role and a Max Domi filling a more offensive Ty Domi role. You know, it's fun. It's fun having that. The guys that are just willing to fight, that are thrown in the top nine, that aren't just plugs in the bottom of the lineup. So TJ Brody hit game 900 tonight, and John Tavares game 1100. John Tavares has another goal. I think the guys found it. I think John Tavares is back, and it's a nice time coming into the playoff time.
Yeah, he's finding it at the exact right time. And it's funny, too, that there's a game in there where Sheldon Keefe just tore him a new one, too. So I guess that might be a little harsh, but definitely called him out for having a slack game. And so, like, to be on this type of a pace with a bad game in there is awesome. Again, tonight.
If you take all those games and you just take that one game out of there, though, John Tavares has been great for the last 10 games.
Yeah, like, I argue we see the best player on the team in those 10 games if you remove the one. Yeah.
Carrying so, hard.
Yeah. Especially with Matthews kind of, like, on a bit of a scoring slump. Like, obviously, if Matthews was on the previous 10 games from that, like, he's on, like, you know, an 80-goal pace in that chunk of 10 games. But, yeah, currently Tavares is doing it, and, like, that's what you're asking from this guy. People ask a little bit too much, I think, from him, and as long as, like, you can dial him in at the right time and contribute in a game like tonight where, you know, Matthews isn't always going to score multiple goals, and we've been lucky that to have guys like Bobby and think and other players down the lineup that are doing it, but Tavares still doing it, you know.
The thing is it's not us asking that of them, it's their contract that's asking that of them.
Yeah,
they're the ones who wanted to earn that kind of money. Like, John Tavares was the top dog that year in free agency, and, like, it's great he came home, we're all happy about that, but, like, his contract, I guess, and we all knew when it was signed that the back couple of years wouldn't be the same, but at $11 million and with the flat cap over the last couple of years, it not raising the way that it was supposed to, it's not us that demands him to perform. It's his contract. It's where he sits on this team. It's the hierarchy. It's the value of what a player is supposed to produce for how much money. And, you know, it Austin Matthews is the same. Like, if he was to not produce anymore, could you imagine paying him 13.25 for, like, 40-goal seasons? If he starts scoring 40 goals a season, buddy, we're not going to be happy with that for 13.25. I tell you that right now.
Yeah, you're right. I would just, like, refer back to what you said previously too, of just, you know, like, his contract was based on him performing way better on the front half of it. And so I think he's currently playing, like, up to standard. He's not playing like $11 million, but he's playing like a, you know, $6 or $7 or $8 million dollar player, and that's what we all knew was going to happen. So
yeah, so he's a negative $3 million value. That's just fun. Well, yeah, TJ Brody got his 900th game as well. And, you know, TJ Brody hasn't been bad his last couple games back. He's looked just fine.
Just fine is a perfect way to put it, yes. Not stand out. But, I mean, the TJ Brody is, like, the best when you're not really noticing him. And unless it's, you know, he's defending a million, you know, two-on-ones is normally his specialty. But, yeah, like, I think that he's probably playing better than just fine based on us not noticing him too. Like, he just, you know, got a point the other night, or 2 points, actually, I think.
Yeah, I mean, like, one of those points was, like, he gave the puck 5 feet away to his partner, to Labushkin. He fires it up the ice to Matthews, and Matthews pots it. Yeah, it's great, but, like, it was a 5-foot pass to your partner who's, like, wide open. So it is what it is there.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, he's also currently, if everyone's healthy, he's like a sixth defenseman. And so, like, I'm not counting on him anymore to be a second. But I just, you really, like, the defense performed well tonight. Like, no doubt. Like, if you let in zero goals, like, it's not all on the goalie. Like, they played pretty well. But you do miss Riley and Edmondson. There's no question that I look at this core and it's just like, yeah, this isn't exactly what I want to go into the playoffs with. So
it's so too bad that, like, TJ Brody doesn't have a right-handed shot. Because, like, could you just imagine if he was as good on the right with a right-handed shot as he is on the left and has comfortable and like just steady Brody that we're used to. And he just kind of settled in there and he was always there. It's just always been the Achilles heel. It's just, he doesn't play right-handed. He doesn't have a right-handed shot. Like it's just too bad. Cause he is a decent defender and he puts him down at like six if, because he's left-handed. If he's right-handed, we're talking like he might be the second or fourth best defenseman on the team. Right.
But yeah. Maybe.
Cause he's not. He just gets bumped way down the lineup.
I have an off-topics discussion about Brody. Have you noticed his square stick?
No.
His toe on his stick is basically a block. Like, it's crazy. I've seen some defensemen like take off the very end of the toe, but like he's basically cut the entire toe off, and there's just like a couple diagonals on it. And obviously, it's That's for weird. Better board play. So like, you know, your toe can dig into the boards better to retrieve a puck, but
wow.
Is that legal? Is there anything about that? Cause I mean, you're right about jamming it up against the boards. You create a solid stop the puck. There's no, and that's like almost a different tool at that point.
I mean, I can't be the only one that's noticed it.
That's interesting. I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, he's definitely grinded down the tip of his stick.
Yeah. No, I didn't notice that at all. Brody. Wow, so he's literally using it to be a defenseman. He's like, I don't need to play the puck with this thing. I need to stop the puck with this thing.
Yeah, and I've never heard of a toe drag, Brody.
Is like he's like what over 100 games now without a goal. So he's like, I'm not really fucking worried about that. Like, let's just make good defensive plays.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. And the whole legal part of it, obviously it is because I'm sure they would have called him out by now.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, how many like illegal stick calls have we seen in the last 10 years? Like, I haven't seen many challenges of that. Like,
no,
there's been a few, but
there's been a few length of stick challenges.
Yes, and the curvature maybe.
Yeah, I don't
remember the old Jágr
curvature.
Oh, that's a while ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. But you know, we don't see them now. I think because maybe the rules are either more lax, or it's just more common for people to have these kinds of things. But if it would be illegal, I'm sure somebody would notice it with social media and all the cameras and everybody around constantly picking apart things. If CP noticed it, somebody else noticed it, and they would have called it out if it was illegal, is my point.
Yeah, we're probably like a couple games away from like some sort of a showcase on Brody's stick because it's, you know, different than everyone else's. You know, one actually that people aren't talking about as much is that Bertuzzi actually put tape on his stick. Since his whole, you know,
actually, yeah, no, they had a whole highlight of that on the broadcast a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week.
Oh,
but he went
that.
From just a, he had a sticker just on his blade,
yeah,
and then he went and he put tape on his toe from like 3 inches from the end all the way to the end, and he didn't have that tape there when he was, you know, not 5 goals and however many games, and then. Now he's gotten 12 goals in his last 18 or 19 games, and he's got this toe of tape on the end there. So that's kind of what he's figured out. It's all fucking superstitious, right? Like, it's not. It's a little bit of tape. You think it makes a difference?
Have you seen Connor McDavid's stick at the end of a game? Like,
no.
Hardly any tape on it. He refuses to retape his stick throughout an entire game. So normally the entire bottom looks like you've played road hockey for an entire summer and it's all grinded off and it's flopping around and you'll see him on the bench sometimes and he's like actually like pushing the tape back down onto a stick, but no, can't retape it. And like that dude seems like he plays pretty good with some pretty effed up tape. So
yeah, exactly. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. All right. I want to talk about Connor Dewar. He took 2 penalties tonight. He had a rough night.
3 minutes, too.
All in all, after that, he wasn't bad, though. He was out in the last minute of the game. What was your overall take on Dewar?
My overall take hasn't changed. He's really responsible defensively, and he's normally behind the puck. That was just crazy. I mean, I don't know. He takes the one that... The first one was a high stick, right? Or a hook, or... Stick check?
Yeah, I
don't
even
remember
what
but
they were. I just
a
remember
stick
they were back
infraction.
To back.
Some sort of stick infraction. And then, like, he literally skates from the box and puts it over the glass. And so, like, I don't know what to really make of it. I'm going to try and forget about it because this is a guy that I, like, trust to. Like, I he was out there in the last, you know, 5 minutes, and I trust him to be out there. Like, he makes pretty good decisions. He's on the top penalty kill at the moment, and he's pretty good at that too. So I think it's just shit luck. But like, that was bad though. You can't be doing that.
So I want to talk about the top penalty kill, and I want to talk about the penalty kill as a whole. Obviously, they gave up nothing tonight.
Yeah,
I think it would have been like 12 now. It was 10 midway through the game. I think it's probably 12 now straight successful penalty kills for the Maple Leafs. Keith, quote, says, "We've put a lot of time on it, and the guys have bought in." He also mentioned using Marner less on the PK. How do you feel about the PK lately, and what do you think about Marner? Well, Marner less PK.
I mean, we've been using him less because he's not here. I'm pretty sure he goes on that PK. He doesn't have to be on the top.
He was talking about using him less when he comes back. He says, "I might not even have to put him there. It's been so successful."
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. I don't know. That's interesting. Because, like Bobby McMahon seems to be on, the second or third change. And so is Willie. I'd rather Marner out there before both of them, especially Willie. So,
Willie's pretty good on the PK, man. I think you're wrong there. Willie is a great PKer. And it's all about a mindset thing. When he's 5-on-5, he wants to cheat for offense 100%. And when he's power play, his mind is even worse set for offense. But when he's on the penalty kill, he's really, really good at breaking plays up. He's a great penalty killer. I don't think I have any knocks on Nylander's penalty kill play.
I 100% have knocks. He's great for the first 30 seconds. But like you see tonight, and his legs just become dead, and he doesn't do anything. He just, even McCabe comes off of the penalty and he comes to play the center position and he points to Willie to where to go. And Willie doesn't move. And he literally like you can see that he's probably yelling at him that point to move over there. So like Marner's at twice the penalty killer that Willie is. I'm not saying that Willie's bad. I'm just saying that Marner's elite. He's way better. So I would just say that yes, he'll get less time because if Dewar is going to be on the top one, I'm totally cool with that. Because it's also, that's the pair that's probably going to take the face off. And now you have two centermen on that PK. So if one gets kicked out, Camp can be pretty aggressive on a face off. And then if he gets kicked, Dewar's there. And that's way better than having Marner come in to be the face off. So that part of it I love. But in general, I think he should still be on it.
Either way, it's going to be, I think when Marner comes back, I think there's a good chance he comes in and fills somewhere in that PK. Obviously, you have some lines that are working out now, and 10 for 10 or 12 for 12, whatever it is at this point, those numbers don't lie. It's been good. Marner is an elite penalty killer, and I just can't see them not playing him in that position, especially when you take into consideration that once he's back, that takes somebody off of the team. So is that somebody who's already playing penalty kill, or is that somebody, Nick Robertson, who's another person I wanted to talk about? He scored again tonight. And he's honestly fighting his way into the fact that you should keep him on this team. He's putting in goals, man. As much as McMahon, maybe he's not as big and he's not as strong, but as much as Holmberg's not scoring any more than Robertson. Robertson's putting in his work to earn his name on this team. Do you think you still think he's the guy out, or do you think there's a chance at all that he's going to get himself ahead of any one of these guys we're talking about?
I mean, he's really feeling like a guy that's going to make me eat my words, because I don't know. I just haven't seen the right stuff from him for, how many games has he played? Probably 50, something like that. Probably for 47 of them, I haven't really loved his game other than offensively. But the last two, we're kind of, maybe it's three now, but
49 games.
49 games, yeah. So for 45 of them, I haven't really loved his game, but he's really turned it around, and he's continuing to put the puck in the net, and a little bit of a higher efficiency in the last couple games, obviously. But it's the back check. It's the stick checking. Before you could tell that he was thinking and trying to do the right thing, but he just wasn't always completing it properly. But now you just see that instincts have kicked in, and he knows when to turn and chase a puck and not worrying about what just happened offensively. And so he's really turning into a guy where I'm when he's in the playoff lineup, because I'm assuming he's going to be at some point, just he's if he continues this, he will be. And maybe not game one, but at some point. And I won't be too worried about it. Like, I'm starting to actually like him as a player. And I'm a guy that, like, watches, like, most of the things I watch are defensively. And then the offensive stuff will just come, I find, but just based on skill. And so, like, he's doing the things that make me like him. So, like, he's turning into a player. I don't know.
There's a lot of good players that are making their name, you'll say, to make their way into this lineup. But Nick Robertson, he's just got that elite skill of having a strong and accurate shot that, you know, not a lot of the other guys have. Like, Holmberg's a great player, but he is just narrowly edging out Nick Robertson, if he is at all in that position right now. When you have Marner back, you're going to have to start sitting guys on the bench. And, like, I just think at this point, like, it's going to be hard to sit down to Nick Robertson. Or if you do, you're going to be thinking it's not going to be long because you have to get him back in.
Yeah, the only thing with, like, Holmberg is going to probably push him out if that's the two that we're looking between, because I like that Holmberg, like, on a fourth line seems pretty viable and responsible. Probably gives that line a little bit more time. But if you have Robertson on it, then, like, they're probably, you know, playing minimal minutes a night. So, like, I'm still referring back to that, I think. Yeah. But I don't know. It would be great, though, to get a Nick Robertson goal from a fourth line. Like, that would just, you know, like, the cherry on top, basically, for him. But I'm not sure they're ever going to put him in that situation. But it's just, I think he's great
Maybe
insurance.
Next year.
Yeah. I think he's great insurance for, like, if someone goes down, you know, like, if Bobby McMahon goes down or Yarncroak is in and then comes out. Like, he's a guy that you can slot in, I think. But he's just in a fourth line role or even a third line role. He just doesn't necessarily fit. Like, that line with him, Nyes, and Holmberg is,
oh, buddy,
so
he was
great.
24% expected goals for tonight.
Yeah, they're just three young.
They won 3-0,
lineup.
By the way.
Yeah, that's crazy. And Robertson scored.
Yeah, so. That's so bad.
Yeah,
that's so bad.
Yeah,
like, how are you 75% of the goals or 76% of the goals expected are against you, and your line has a fucking goal. How bad was it out there? Those guys were just fucking treading water all night, paddling, just doing what they could to stay alive. Like, it was 24%. That is unfathomable from a line. That cannot be a line next game.
No, like, it's the one line in this lineup that you'll never see in the playoffs. Like, I don't think they'll ever do that. We're, like, right now, the first, the second, and the fourth, they're, like, they're playing those lines together because, like, that's probably what you're going to see at some point in the playoffs. The third line, though, like, yeah, you could, those are extra guys. Like, a couple of them are probably coming out and, you know, you're filling in with other guys. So, yeah.
Fair enough. So I have a note here. Max Domi is an aggressive driver. So have you ever driven with your parents and your parents say, "You're so aggressive"? My parents do that all the time. And I'm a pretty defensive driver because I drive with, you know, like, say, my girlfriends or my friends, and they go, "You drive like a grandma." But my parents always say, "You're so aggressive." And, you know, there's a difference between an aggressive driver and a defensive driver. And I feel like Max Domi is a very aggressive driver on the ice. When he gets out there, he's just built a little bit different than we're used to from a depth character on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that is in constantly wanting to create and having the ability to do so.
Yeah, 100%. I'm not sure if my parents would call me an aggressive driver or not. Maybe if my dad's listening, let us know. But my girlfriend calls me a passive driver. But Domi,
I get that a lot too.
Yeah, Domi is, yeah, I could see that guy's swerving lane to lane. He gets through Toronto in about half an hour. Yeah, I see that. For sure, yeah.
he's the first person on the team to, like, "Oh, there's an opening, I'm going to try. Take it to the net, take it to the net, take it to the net." And, you know, it's not like a lot of people. Like, a lot of people are turned back, you know, the follow the structure but he just seems to make a lot more plays driving toward the net and put himself in that position to take the puck, to the net himself or put the puck in a position towards the net for one of his teammates to capitalize on. And it's just like that little bit of a different play style that we're not used to in years past on the Toronto Maple Leafs, something different that I think might be a huge factor going into the playoffs and getting through those situations with teams that are harder to beat in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it'll all depend on where he just ends up in the lineup. Like Marner coming back, I think is going to be the most interesting just to see if he gets bumped down to the third line again or if he's going to stick on a first line or maybe, I don't know what it's going to be. It's hard to see him in anything else but just bumped down. But I think like if he's put in an opportunity to succeed, he's going to succeed. Like, yes, he creates plays like crazy and he's a great complement player to high skill players. He's not like the greatest of driver if there's no one else out there to, you know, to feed off of. So I just hope that he doesn't like get into some like third line scoring line that's just like, you know, that Matthew Knies is supposed to be the guy that he's, you know, playing with to score goals. I'm like, I just don't see that working ever.
You know what? I'm going to sit here and say at this point, Matthew Knies has been a fucking disappointment this year. Matthew Knies, like, I wished he was so much better last year. Like what the flashes that he showed, the step I expected him to take this year, I'm going to flat out say he's disappointed me. I'm not going to say he's a bad player, but he has disappointed me. I thought that guy was on his way to maybe superstardom. I thought the Leafs might have another one there. And after the season I've seen this year, he's been pedestrian, maybe in a couple of years, but definitely I wouldn't expect him to come out and be a breakout guy next year.
I mean, I think that I wouldn't count him out of being a breakout guy, but he's been pretty satisfactory is how I would put it. Like
satisfactory is a great word. That's yeah. He's been satisfactory. He hasn't been anything above that.
No. I would say that he would be a disappointment if he wasn't able to be like the third winger on a top line or in the top six. And anyone that can play those type of minutes, I think you got to give a little credit for. And even on the line tonight with Holmberg and Robertson, like he's the guy that can skate it out of the zone, who can use his body to create space and get it across.
Just like I wish he had 60 points. I wish he was putting up points. Like I wish he was more of a, you know,
Chris Kreider.
I wish he put up, yeah, Chris Kreider. You know, even Michael Bunting. The way that Michael Bunting just put up points, the way that he was able to just get himself involved and put up points. And Matthew Knies, even though he's playing on the top line, he's had every opportunity. He's been up there and given all the chances with the top guys, passed them the puck, and he doesn't seem to be involved in any of these, like, you know, this Matthew 60-goal season, and he still doesn't have barely any points. What's he at, like 30-some points right now?
Right.
Like, it's been a disappointment for a top-line left winger in Matthew Knies.
Yeah, for opinion. Sure. I think, like you said, if Bunting was on this team, like, you know, he's probably sitting at 55 or so points. Like, I that's what I would expect. So, yeah, definitely slightly disappointing, satisfactory at best.
Fair enough. So you got anything else on this game, CP?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
All right, producer Ted, are you there? We had a 7-4 to Avs win,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah,
and
that
it was another
crazy
big comeback win. Nate 4 points, Miko cracked 100, and they officially clinched a playoff berth.
That's right.
But I want to talk about Georgiev.
Oh,
he got the boot. He got the boot, puck over the glass after a goal, after giving up the fourth goal of the game. Now, they ended up coming back and even taking the game after his little temper tantrum. But what the fuck happened there?
Man, I don't know. He has these little moments, right? And I think it comes from taking so much of the weight on his shoulders, you know, the brunt of the games and all that. These little things are going to happen. Cracks are going to appear. And, you know, that's what happens, right? If you work, you know, you do a little bit of overtime and sometimes things get a bit stressful. The over the glass penalty, that's something I wanted to talk about too. Not just this one, but in the other game, you guys mentioned one too. I heard a take from one of the Avs guys, AJ, and he said, if he was commissioner, I think it was AJ, or was it, yeah, it was AJ. He said if he was commissioner for the week, what would be one of his first things? And it was change that, so it's not a penalty. They just treat it like icing, which is interesting. So, like, you know, like you can't change, and you know, offensive zone f- yeah. for you, defensive zone faceoff.
You get one, right? I think that was the idea, right? You
okay, like the first ones that just like treated like an icing, and you do it again,
kind of thing. Yeah,
sure. Yeah. So yeah, the Georgie thing. Forgiev, as he's getting a new nickname, four goals. It's kind of rough, but you know the juice comes in, gets the win. We love to see it. Justice was served. Eustace Annunen, the juice.
And he's actually becoming someone.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. We love the juice now.
So are you concerned about your goaltending depth here going into the playoffs?
Oh, it's one of those feelings where it's like when we went in and won it with Kemper and was it Frankie, I guess, was the...
Yep, Francis.
Yeah, Kemper was like, okay, he was great, he was good, but it was, I mean, it was the team was fucking unstoppable.
I mean, he broke his eye, like, in that series.
and then Frankie came in a few games, like, unexpectedly even, and held it right down, which was cool. So that's something I kind of see Onanen being able to do. I think we have to play it really smart, though. Like, Bednar almost has to play, like, Russian roulette with his goalies every night in a weird way, like where it would be expected that Georgie gets the start, he might have to be like, no, like I feel this is gonna be one of those four goal flip the puck over the boards fucking games. We're going with the juice. Like he's got to make some. I think he's got to make a crazy call, and I don't know. Bednar might be the guy to do it. Show up in a purple Joker suit and fucking put out the juice.
It's crazy how many goalies there aren't in the NHL right now.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a good way
like
to put it.
Such a good observation. Yeah. There's like hardly any true starters anymore.
You notice it playing Fantasy League. And who can I pick up this? Who can I stream? No one. They're all either used or played on the back-to-back or they fucking suck. And they're used to, even if they're a starter, they give up four goals a game. So you're like, why? Am I going to stream this guy and ruin my week? I don't know.
Yeah, like I changed my fantasy strategy this year and I went and actually got two number one goalies, and it didn't serve me good because Ilya Sorokin hasn't played a single game this week because he's been benched because he's been horrible.
So
it's kind of a rough go goalie goaltender.
It is. So many starters that were like, look at Minnesota, Fleury kind of winning back the net for parts of the year. Like, how does that happen? Gustafsson's supposed to be, he's 25 on a big, like, nice contract. And
they're in a really weird spot right now. They got, like, an elite superstar, Hall of Famer goaltender on the way out of his career. And, like, a guy who's supposed to be really good who's having a struggling year this year. It was just kind of a mess in Minnesota.
For sure.
Minnesota in general is a little bit of a mess.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because of one of the cap hits of one of the players that's on the Colorado Avalanche, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yeah. And, like, to think that Kaprizov, like, he's such a good player and, like, he's just basically rotting there. I hate when a really good player is on a bad team. It's just like, so good, but...
So good. He's had, like, if you look back since the All-Star games... it's been like Matthews and Kaprizov for goal scoring.
Right.
Like since then.
Yeah.
It's been
he had a bit of a slow start, guys. But
he's been hot since he had like 12 and 18 games or something like that. Unreal. Anyways, Leafs host.
I was going to say one more thing from that. Rantanen hit 40 goals too. He had a 40 goal season. I think, he hit 100 points, 40 goals. I think too, if Nichushkin didn't miss all that time, if all that stuff never went down, needed that time away, personal time. He's got 26 goals. I think if he played the rest of that.
He's got 26 goals?
He has 26 goals, yeah.
He wasn't even here.
I know. If he would definitely be a 40-goal scorer. We would have three 40-goal scorers.
40?
Yeah, like, well,
maybe
yeah.
Maybe a 50-goal scorer.
I know. But at least three 40s.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy that Nichushkin has 26 goals, and he missed, like, a half of the season.
Yeah. He was on fire before he left. And, I mean... I'm not going to attribute it to anything, of course. We're not going to get into that. But he was on fire, man. He was hot. He was
fucking
just going.
Buzzing, if you will.
Yeah. Bumping.
All right. And with that, the Leafs host the Panthers on Monday. And then they face the Lightning this week again to big games there if they want to measure themselves against the rest of the league. Are you expecting any scheduled losses, or you think either one of these games are up for grabs here, CP?
What were they? Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Panthers Monday, Lightning, I think Thursday.
Yep. Definitely measuring stick games. Like, I can't measure anything until Marner's back. That's the thing. So, like, whenever Marner comes back, I can really start looking at it. It'll be weird if we're playing them without him, because it's never going to be the look that we come with. So, yeah, Marner at least is skating, and I guess he's, like, you know, he's in practice.
But now he's been placed on retroactive LTIR, and, like, I don't even understand how this works when he's able to come off. Like, I don't, none of this makes sense to me. So, yeah. He'll be back whenever he's back at this point. Like he's getting better, but now we're placing him on LTIR. What?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's so that they can save cap if they need to in the last few days. Because if you've outlasted the LTIR, you might as well put them on it, because then a lot of money comes off of your cap hit, like total for the year. So
for what?
Because he hasn't been available. But
for
if he's
what?
So huh? like say a player comes back and you're like close to the cap hit, you'll have like a couple hundred grand more, you know. That's all it matters for.
Yeah, we're fucking what though? Like, we're at the end of the year, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it literally doesn't matter anymore. They're just gonna like let anybody play at this point. Who fucking cares? Like, oh, that only matters up until the trade deadline. Then after
that's
that, like, it all just becomes a magical fairyland. You can have like 45 players in your roster. It's like September in baseball. Have as many people as you want. There is no cap anymore. Just the way it seems to be. And Mark Stone is always on LTIR. That's just how it is every single year.
But yeah, he's got to stay there though until the playoffs. That's the key.
Game one, round one, magically healthy, baby.
Yep.
Anyways, that's a wrap for now. Split the Defense Leafs post game. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button, subscribe on YouTube, and please rate and review the show. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.